Amen. Well, today we continue our study through the book of Colossians with chapter 3, verses 11 through 17. In our last message titled, Take Off the Old Self, we discussed chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. And for that message, we came away with five conclusions. The first was that those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ need to look to Jesus and set their minds on heaven for our identity. I talked about how I, as a young boy, I found my identity in, say, my family upbringing, in, you know, maybe aspects of my family heritage as a Catholic. Even I was thinking about it as a New Yorker at the time. And as I got into my teenage years, I came to admire a certain type of music, and I adapted myself to that identity. Well, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you die and rise together with Christ. And as Christ rose into heaven, so also shall we. Heaven has now become our new heritage. God our Father and Jesus our Lord. And we become bonded together with Jesus and all other believers by the Spirit, as opposed to us relating to family on earth through blood. Believers must realize that we have a new identity in Christ and set our sights on our real hometown, which is in heaven, and adapt to that heavenly culture which is found in God's word and his instructions to us. Secondly, that we have died with Christ and our life is hidden away with him. And when he returns, we will experience the fullness of this new identity. Paul speaks about our new life as being already hidden away with Jesus. And he tells us of a time where that life will be fully revealed. It's a current reality that those who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that we are members of his body, citizens of his kingdom. However, it's not totally visible. To some degree, the fullness of this reality is still yet to be revealed. We touched on passages from Scripture which speak to Jesus' return with what we recognize as the rapture, when Jesus returns to bodily resurrect all believers, whether they are still alive or have already died. And in that moment, he says that we will be changed. We'll have new hearts. We'll have new minds. We'll have new bodies. Until that time, we are all called to the same thing. We're called to live according to God's word. We're called to live out his commands to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, bodies, and strength. And we're called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Who's our neighbor? Anyone who's around us. Whoever is around us. Think about it this way, that as God loved us, we also are called to love one another. Thirdly, as we await the return of Jesus, we need to focus on putting away all earthly desires of our natural worldly self. That is, aspects of our basic human nature that are natural to all mankind. Sexual immorality in all of its forms, including fornication, adultery, prostitution, incest, homosexuality, to name a few. And then impurity he spoke of. And those things which are generally immoral. He spoke of putting away the passions, including lustful desires, desires for or towards disgraceful or shameful things, and the types of strong emotions that lead to anger. He spoke of putting away evil desires, which are fleshly cravings or longings for that which is forbidden. Think cravings or longings in excess, which lead to vices, addictions, like gambling addictions, addictions to alcohol, addictions to any drug, gluttony, and so on. And finally, he spoke of putting away covetousness, which Paul calls idolatry. The wrong desire to have that which does not belong to you, and to want to selfishly and excessively hold on to it. An attitude of entitlement, thinking we're owed what we're not owed. Greed and the love of money or material things. a willingness to even defraud or extort or take from others. Putting things above God and putting God last in your life so that you can acquire things. Fourth, we must shed off all worldly and fleshly attributes which flow out of us and towards others. Things like anger or an excitement of the mind and violent passions like the kind of anger that leads us to be quick-tempered, quick to want to avenge wrong, and to get indignation, vengeance, revenge. We have to put away wrath, which is an intense state of anger, displeasure, or rage. The idea we had talked about last week, the idea about this kind of rage, it's like being so filled with this anger, it's almost like you're out of breath. He spoke about putting away malice. Malice is a state of wickedness, baseness, depravity. The word in Greek actually means the opposite of virtue. It's the opposite word for virtue. Mean-spirited, vicious attitude or disposition, wishing ill will on another. He spoke of putting away slander to defame or speak irreverently or disrespectfully of or about someone. And obscene talk, using what's considered bad, dirty, foul, perverted, or obscene language. It could be perverted words or stories or jokes. And none of these things that I have mentioned, not one of them is possible for you to have victory over apart from full reliance on Jesus Christ and the power of his Holy Spirit working on us to change us and mold us into the person that he wants us to be. Lastly, we are going through a process of taking off the old self and putting on this new self through the process of learning more about Jesus, how Jesus lived, how Jesus wants us to live, which we find in God's word. His instructions about how we ought to live considering our new identity with Christ and in heaven. We all have a lifelong process by which we wrestle with those things which are natural to every one of us. The spirit and the flesh are constantly in opposition to one another and are wrestling with one another. And as we grow in the knowledge of God's word, through attending church, through small groups, through maybe Sunday school, through personal Bible study, as you grow in your knowledge, God reveals to us more clearly who he is. And through us seeing God more clearly, we start seeing ourselves more clearly. And through this process, we're being renewed to walk like him. Now, as we move forward in Paul's message, we move from what we should be taking off, what we should be ridding ourselves of, to what we should be putting on. And that's why I got a cool new picture. The picture from last week was kind of like he was shedding this kind of dark robe off. And then today's image is of putting on this clean white robe. How we are called to live out our life until our death or his return. We often hear the term calling used when referring to those who choose to serve in ministry as perhaps a pastor. It's generally said that, you know, those who go into ministry are responding to a calling. Well, that word's often used wrong. Did you know that we're all called? Every single one of you that puts your faith in Christ, did you know first God called you? Jesus says that the Father, that no one can come to the Son unless the Father first draw them. So if you feel the Lord pulling on your heart and pulling you towards him, God the Father is actively drawing you to Christ. And as you put your faith in Christ, God then calls you as well. Well, calls you to what? Let's take a closer look at our scripture reading for today. 1 Peter 1:13 through 25. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you, see, he called you. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another now earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So the answer is found, what are we all called to? In verse 15 of what I just read. We're all called to be holy. And the word holy means set apart. Imagine for a moment you're hanging out down by the Agua River down the road. And you're down there with a pan. Big giant pan. And you're panning for gold. It's probably gold down there. Who knows? And in the process of this, you're scooping up giant globs of muck down there in that river and putting it into this pan. You're searching for treasure. And you get some Agua water in that pan and swirl it around, and you're trying to sort out all this muck to get to the treasure. And after you've swirled and swirled and swirled to get all that muck out, right? Gleaming through the water, what do you see? If you're lucky, a tiny, shiny nugget of gold. Everyone's going to be panning for gold out there this week. Well, and what are you going to do with that gold? It's special. It's valuable. So you set it aside. Maybe you put it in one of those little glass jars that usually you see people put like the gold flakes and the gold nuggets in. Well, that is what we are. When you put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, did you know that God considers you special and valuable? And so he sets us aside. He sets us apart. He has intentions and plans for each and every one of you. In fact, some people, they wander through life and they're thinking, what am I here for? What is my purpose? Well, turn to the Lord, put your faith in him, and ask him, and he will show you. God called us. God found us. And God sets us aside. And he wants to separate us out from the muck. Cleans us up, shines us up. As part of that process, God has called us to keep away from the muck, not to gravitate back towards it. Don't go back to the muck. We're called to be obedient children to him. Through faith in Christ, we become God's children. To not allow ourselves to be conformed to our former fleshly passions, which Paul spoke of in last week's passage in Colossians. And he tells us to prepare our minds for action. That's why we're here. Are we here to hear a message today? We're here to hear it and set our minds to action. The Lord wants us to put what we hear into action. He wants us to prepare to act it out. Obey it. Conform to it. He says, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. You know, we're as those who are part of God's kingdom, we're living in this world. Scripture says we're in this world, but not of it, right? We are, in a sense, we're exiled from heaven. Our life is hidden away there now. But we're not currently physically, like, we're looking around. We're like, this ain't heaven. We're not currently there. So in a sense, we're in an exile. And it says we were ransomed from our earthly heritage, from the futile ways of our forefathers. We have a new family in Christ, and we've been ransomed and bought and paid for with Christ's blood. Our new family, the family bought with Christ's blood, is a family that is bonded by the Spirit. I know most of us often, we think, we are closest with those who were bonded together with blood. Well, according to Scripture, our closest bond is actually with those who are bound together with the Spirit. I challenge you to think upon that. We're called to love one another earnestly and from a pure heart. Faith in Christ does not begin and end with simple belief. Now, what I mean is, salvation is through faith, but God ain't done with us. That isn't his point. His point isn't that he just wants us to put our faith in him and then just go about our life. He calls us to action. We're called into God's family. We're a family here. And as God's family, we're called to love one another. And we're going to really challenge, this message I hope will really challenge all of us today to really think about us as a family. To really think about the extremes to which God calls us to love one another. I say extremes, but really it's just what he wants of us. Look with me now to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Here he says, here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Well, here where? He says, here. Well, here in the kingdom of God, which all believers are members of. And in this kingdom, there is no separation. We got Jewish believers or non-Jewish believers. Both are believers. Both are part of the kingdom. Jews there are completed Jews. A Jewish person who has faith in Christ is a Christian. They put their faith in Christ. They're a Jewish Christian. And a non-Jewish believer is a Christian. There is not barbarian and Scythian. What does that even mean? Well, we're gonna get here a little bit talking about, well, let's talk about races. Skin color does not matter in the kingdom of God. In this world, we have a term for those who despise others because of their race or their skin color. We call that racism, right? Although today it seems that that term is used very, very liberal. Everything seems to be racist today. Well, what even is racism? It's hate. Racism isn't named in the Bible. Hate is. What does it matter why one person hates another? We have no shortage of reasons in this world to hate one another, do we? But according to Scripture, hate is hate. We should love what God loves and hate what God hates. But God calls us to love one another. We should love what God loves and hate what God hates. He calls us to love our neighbor. We hate sin. That's what we're called to hate. But we're called to love our neighbor. We're called to love our enemy. According to Scripture, there is one race. There may be differences in our skin color. And you know what? That is part of God's artistic creativity. There's a beauty in that. However, there's one race through Adam and Eve, and one race through Noah and his family. Have you ever considered we are all related? When we think about being related to people by blood, we're really thinking about an how close are we by blood, right? But we all got the same blood running through our veins that ran through Adam and Eve's. We all have the same blood running through our veins that came from Noah and his family. So in that sense, we're all part of one race. We all might look a little bit different, but I think from the heavenly perspective, we're all one race and one kingdom, those who put their faith in him. Christ binds us all together. Christ is in all believers, and Christ binds us together. Now look to verse 12 through 13 with me. He says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. And as the Lord has forgiven you, you must also forgive." So, since we're all one body in Christ, and we're all together chosen, set apart and loved by God, here's how we're supposed to live. Here's what our new identity looks like. You know, no Christian is on their own island. If you think you're on your own island, you have to ask if you're part of the kingdom. Because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of many. There's no section of the kingdom that's one. If you're living out the Christian life on your own island, set apart from the fellowship of other believers, you really got to ask yourself, why? God calls us to community. Scripture says in 1 John 3:10, "By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother." Those who call upon Jesus as Lord and God, well, we should have that love for one another, for other brothers and sisters in Christ. All who call upon Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are all together called into loving community with one another. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5, it says, "For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function." Right? Each of us has different gifts. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. If you think of an actual human body, right? You got an elbow, you got fingers, knuckles, you know, you got legs and the neck, right? Those who call upon Christ as Lord, you're all part of one body. Each of us has different gifts. Each of us performs maybe a different function within that body, but we're all one. So as members of one another, how are we to live? Now Paul gives us a list of attributes or practices. So again, last week we talked about what we're doing away with, what we're putting off, and now we're getting into what do we put on. First word, compassion. In the Greek, this is a fun word, splagkna. It's splagkna, oh man, this is a hard word. Splagkna oiktirmas. This is a fun one. It means bowels of mercy. What in the world does that mean, bowels of mercy, right? That's how it's literally translated. You know, today we consider, it's kind of common the way that we speak about where the deepest emotions come from, right? We usually hear in America talk about that coming from our hearts. But pay attention when you, the next time you feel a strong emotion. If you feel it up here, it's probably heartburn. All right? Maybe your taco was too spicy. But normally when you feel like a really deep, really strong emotion, we feel it kind of in our guts. The strongest emotions we tend to feel in our stomachs. Bowels of mercy or compassion here is talking about deeply from within ourselves with the feeling in the pit of our stomach showing concern about another's state. Deeply caring about the other person. You know, Scripture talks about, it says in latter times that people's love for one another will wane. Well, let that not be so among Christians. Let our love for one another strengthen. While the world around us falls apart and it looks like it's tearing itself apart, and you see hate and violence all around, well, we're called now to be a shining light, to shine the light of God's love out to others. You know, I think that part of this means getting outside your own head, forcing yourself to think about the feelings of other people. Imagine yourself in their shoes. Imagine yourself in their situation. Try to imagine how they see things through their eyes. We all need to practice that. All of us need to practice that. Sometimes it's really hard. I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know how they're feeling. All right, sit there and meditate on it. Put yourself through those thoughts, those questions that I brought up. Then think, how would you like to be treated if you were in their shoes? It's when we think through the eyes of others that it becomes easier to show compassion and love to them. Maybe they see things from a different perspective. You know, oftentimes different perspectives can be very valuable, right? We don't always see things perfectly clearly. It's beneficial and for many reasons to try to think about things from other people's perspectives. Try and think from their position. Then love them like you would want God to love you. Show them compassion and mercy as you would want God to show it to you. Next word, kindness. This word, kreistatesi, something like that. Uprightness in one's relations with one another. The quality of being useful, helpful, or beneficial. Goodness, generosity towards others. Be kind, generous, useful, helpful, and beneficial to one another. And practice this without expecting anything in return. Be always willing and eager to help others, friend or foe, whether they've treated you well or not. Whether they've wronged you or not. You know, imagine for those of you who found faith in Christ later in life, think about this. When the Lord drew you to him, how much sin did you leave behind in the path? Right? What kind of life did you have before that? But God welcomed you with open arms. In fact, Scripture talks about when people turn to the Lord, that there is an eruption of celebration. There's celebration when people turn to the Lord. Now, consider that as we're loving our enemy. Perhaps through loving our enemy, that will turn them to God as well. Be kind to others as you would want God to be kind to you. In fact, as God has been kind to you, treat others. If someone needs help, don't wait for them to ask. Offer it. Knowing that from God comes the reward. These next two words are very closely related. The first is translated humility, that's preuteta, and the second translated meekness is preateta. There's literally a difference of one single vowel between those words. So I decided to kind of talk about them together. So kind of together, the combination of those two words means the quality of not being overly impressed by a sense of one's own importance. Showing gentleness, humility, courteousness, considerateness, mildness. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verses 3 through 11 says, Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, meaning to show off. But in humility, count others as more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on the cross.